to say that it wants to get me tea, I don't think it wants to. It's kind of like this unstoppable force. It will stop at nothing to get me tea. Hello and welcome to Terrifying Robot Dog. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we're here to talk about how technology is changing the way we interact with the world. This week, we talk about the stop button problem. Please stay tuned. Terrifying Robot Dog is next. Welcome back.
Yes, we were on a mild illness-related hiatus last week.
Yes, an unexpected break. Sorry about that, dear listener, but we're back and better than ever.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but we're here.
Yes.
We're here, and it's almost Friday, and we're happy about this.
Mm-hmm. So this week, we've got a really fun sort of, I almost want to call it a logic experiment, like just like a thought experiment. But
yeah.
Unfortunately, not just theoretical, I suppose. I guess it's theoretical, but perhaps won't be soon. And that is the stop button problem of artificial general intelligence. And this is sort of spinning out of us watching a couple of computer file videos on YouTube. If you're not familiar with computer file, it's a super fun series of videos where really smart, usually developer-y computer science people explain why things are so hard. That's kind of seems like the common theme. It's kind of like a layperson can understand why, like, date math is such a problem.
Right. Yeah. The date math video is definitely worth watching. That's a wild one.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites.
Love it. I've seen other ones on computer vision, and there's just a ton of really good ones where they take something that's really hard to understand and they boil it down and explain it in a way, and usually, 8 or 10 minutes that at least allows you to get your head around it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great series.
Yeah, totally. And this guy, Rob Miles, is some sort of, I don't know his background, but he's some sort of AI researcher. And he's done a bunch of these videos about general artificial intelligence. And this one particular video about the stop button problem, it's terrifying, actually. I mean, it is so scary.
You're creating a paradox, and you've got to somehow figure out a way to logic yourself out of it.
Yeah. And it's not, as he concludes, it's an open problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess we should first start by summarizing what the problem is.
Yeah. Do you want to take a swing at it?
I'll attempt it. And the idea basically that we create a general artificial intelligence, then it's going to want to go ahead and do its thing and not worry so much about us. And we're going to need a way to, I guess, override it and turn it off, so to speak. And it's, how do we get it to a point where it's okay with us turning it off without it also being okay with, like, oh, well, I'll just shut myself down and there we go, problem solved.
Right. So if you imagine, dear listener, that, you are creating an AI and you go through a testing phase, right? Like you don't exactly know how it's going to work out. You may be putting together a proof of concept, and there's the thing needs to, like, it's not going to care about anything. You have to give it something to care about or it's not going to do anything.
Right.
So you give it this utility function, which in the video they say, go make me some tea. Like, that's the utility function of the robot. Use your artificial intelligence to find your way across the room, get to the kettle, get to the tea bags, make me a cup of tea, bring it back here and give it to me.
Yeah. It's like the roamers in the What About Bob, or not What About Bob.
Yeah. It's totally different.
Yeah. In the
Bill Murray in a sci-fi flick.
Yeah, the book we just read.
We Are Bob.
We Are Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it seems like, okay, you've got this robot roaming around the lab. Makes sense, like you would with pretty much any industrial robot, to have a stop button on it in case something goes horribly wrong, as is often the case when you're testing new stuff. But the issue is that if you press that button, it is going to, the robot is programmed to achieve the goal, and the goal is to get you some tea and bring it back. So if you go to press the stop button, that's not going to let you.
Yeah. Yeah. You pressing the button violates the robot's prime directive, which is for it to go make tea.
Right.
It can't make tea if it's turned off. So it's going to want to not let you do that.
Yeah. So and more horrifyingly, the example he gives is, there's a baby in the room crawling across the floor. If the AI isn't hip to human psychology and, like, the, it's just not that smart yet, it's not even going to, it's, well, okay, if I just, I'll just need to step on that organism to, you know, keep going, right?
Right.
You know, it's not, it doesn't, it's not automatically going to care.
Right. It's tiny. I can squish it.
Right. There's no reason for me to go around this. It's going to try and achieve the goal the most efficient way possible. So, all right, so that's sort of the, that's sort of the baseline issue is like, how do you get it so that the stop button can exist and be useful, but still...
Still, and then you might think, well, okay, the robot cares about making tea. Let's also make it care about the stop button.
Right, like it gets points if the stop button is pressed.
Right.
But then you end up in the scenario where if it's easier to press the button than to get the tea, you just turn the robot on and immediately presses the button. It's like, you ever see that?
Yeah, if they have the same value, then yeah. Yeah, it's like the useless box.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was picturing, the hand that comes out and switches the... itself off.
Yeah, Kira built one of those once.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, they're so funny. We have to link to those. Like a video. There's a great video of that. So, all right. So it's, and the video just goes on and on where they describe, we could probably go through some of the other scenarios where you're like, oh, well, okay. Then what we need to do is make, you know, have the value of pressing the button like constantly floating so that it's slightly less than the value of, or slightly, yeah, slightly less than getting the T, but, or put the, oh, that was the other one. Put the button someplace where the robot can't press it.
Then the robot's just incentivized to like manipulate you to press it.
Right. So let's say there's a fingerprint scanner on the button and only you can press it. And it's like on your desk or on your belt or on your watch or something like that. Then the robot, if it believes that it's easier to get you to press the button than it is to go get the tea, it's going to do everything in its power to get you to press the button, potentially including grabbing your hand and putting your finger on your watch to fingerprint scan.
I just started to say, if it's supposed to get a cup of tea in the nearest coffee shop's 3 blocks away and you're sitting there minding your own business, it's a lot easier for the robot to whack you on the head and slap your hand on the button.
Right. Oh, man. And it continues to go downhill from there. So what was the other? Another possibility was that it didn't know that the button existed.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh no, before that, there was an even better one. The other one, because you got to realize you're dealing with something that's roughly human intelligence. So it's not just, it's not completely dumb. So it knows what you're doing. Like the whole point of it, of being an artificial intelligence, is that it can understand human psychology so that it can understand what you want and therefore it can do what you want. So if the utility function is, you know, get the tea and you're testing it and it's aware that the button exists and that you could press it, then it will be smart enough to pass all of your tests. You know what I mean? Like it'll say, okay, it's not going to not know you're testing it.
Right.
So it's in the lab environment, it's testing it. So it'll be smart enough to purposely pass your test. So in the baby example, it'll walk around the baby, but it doesn't care about the baby. It cares to pass the test. So under a different testing scenario or a different real world scenario, it might not care because it's not being tested.
Right. It understands it's being tested. So it's going to ignore the button and go through your test to pass the test. But then when you get done and it's in production, it's like, well, okay, hitting my button's easier.
Yeah. So it's like you haven't proved that it's safe. You've proved that you can't figure out if it's dangerous or not. Right. So it's almost like
you proved it will do what you want it to do to get its way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's almost like a middle schooler.
Yeah.
I feel like the crux of the problem is, how do you design something that's as smart or smarter than you, right? Like how does it not outwit you? You know, you give it.
Yeah. Or how do you teach it? How do you get it to prioritize what to care about? And I guess maybe it almost seems like in that case that it would have to care about something on a, I guess you would say, an emotional level and not a logical one.
Mm-hmm.
Because there might be certain situations where it's logically not wise to throw yourself in front of a bus to save another person.
Mm-hmm.
But if that person's your kid, you're going to do it, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Like how do you get all that human stuff in there? So that the AI robot, or the robot inhabited by an AI, understands all, it's almost like it has to come out fully formed. And in order for it to behave in a way that you agree with, or a way that you consider beneficial, because if you don't, then you end up with something that's a sociopath, really. I mean, basically, that's what you have.
Basically, yeah. And it seems like it's awfully easy to accidentally get it to that point. Like even if you think you've programmed in, we've taught this robot that the main, you know, its main function is to preserve and improve human life. And then it also makes tea. What if it decides the best way to preserve human life is to lock us all up somewhere safe?
Yeah. right? It's like the genie. It's like the genie scenario. When we were kids, we used to have fun, like trying to, you know, you're on a beach and you find a bottle and you rub the bottle and out pops a genie and you get three wishes. And it was like a fun game to say, okay, what would you wish for?
Yeah.
And so at some point, it's probably my first concept of recursion. Well, I wish for three more wishes.
Duh. Yeah.
Right. But so, but then you're like, okay, that has to be a rule that you can't do. Like right away.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, why does there have to be a, okay, let's say there's a rule that is that you, okay, so wish, I want to be the richest person on the planet. You're on Mars, or it just kills everyone else on Earth.
Yeah, there's a powerful artifact in Dungeons and Dragons called a Ring of Wishes.
Uh-huh.
And so we were playing one time, and this guy had gotten separated from the rest of the party, all his gear stolen and everything. And he had encountered this Ring of Wishes. And so he said, I wish I had all my possessions on me. Guy also happened to own a mountain.
Yeah. Oh, that's a vicious DM.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you know, Richard, when Richard's granting wishes, he just like flips a coin and heads or tails, it goes your way or it goes against you.
Right. And so that would be the thing. Like when we were little kids, we would try and come up with a wish that couldn't be turned around to bite us.
Yeah.
You know the joke about the guy that walks into a bar. Guy walks into a bar, his head's the size of a lemon. You've heard this, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll leave it at that then.
We'll leave it at that.
So we would, that was like a game we played. It feels like the same thing. It's really similar. It's like, how do you, because you can't do it. There's no way you can't turn it around. Like if the malicious genie game, if I think I just made that up, but if you imagine a malicious
dungeon master,
yeah, malicious DM, how do you, right? Like there's no way to phrase it.
You have to find some way to apply gentle pressure.
Oh, I knew you were going to work that in. Gentle tension.
Gentle tension.
So yeah, because you almost need a lawyer, right? Like this is where, okay.
Right.
You need like a legal contract between you and the genie. And it feels like the same thing with the AI. It's like, how do you make it smart enough that it can understand all of your wishes, so to speak, but not so smart that it will outsmart you to perhaps exploit some mistake in its programming or something you didn't get to yet?
Right. How do you get it to understand the context?
Right. That was actually, it was a different video, but there was a, you know, if you imagine that there's a, you're working on this AI, it's not done yet, but it's pretty smart and it has a utility function, in this case, getting the tea. Not only does it not want you to shut it off, it doesn't want you to update its code. If the code change that you want to put in place changes its ability to go get tea, or in fact, even changes its desire might be a strong word, but changes its utility function from getting tea to something else, something simpler, then it's going to fight you. So it's like, if you imagine okay, this is going to be the goal, utility function, get me a cup of tea. And it turns out that either the robot's not capable of it, it's too complicated.
You want coffee instead.
Yeah, I'm going to do something simpler. Just like make me a K-cup. You know, it's a much simpler task. The robot is going to fight you to not allow you to make that change. And I was like, no, I didn't. Why? No. And, but then he explains like, well, imagine if, you know, you could be perfectly happy if I gave you this pill, but this pill was going to cause you to do some atrocities, something that is against your moral upbringing, but you'll be perfectly happy, or you'll be self-actualized. But all you have to do is murder like a bunch of people, you know, something horrible.
Yeah.
And the person's like, no, I wouldn't take the pill. And the guy's like, well, why? And he goes, well, because that goes against how I feel. And he's like, yeah, it goes against how you feel right now, but you'll be...
How you feel right now, but you wouldn't care.
But you won't care after you take the pill. You won't care. He's like, yeah, but I have to make the decision to take the pill now. And he's like, right. And that's the same situation the AI is going to be in. It's not going to want you to change its future. You could almost call it reason for being, let's say. Then... it's going to fight you now because it doesn't want, because it's negative. It's like a negative, it's considered a negative thing because it goes against its prime directive.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you know, and like he said, you know, in the video, he's like, you probably fight pretty hard against someone forcibly administering the pill to you to basically change your entire personality, you know? And of course, yes, everyone would say yes to that. And it's the same thing for the AI. The AI is not going to want you to change what it wants, what its personality. It's kind of like its personality. or its values. I don't know what to call it, but it's like super wild. And then so immediately I'm like, well, I'll just put a stop button on the thing. And then he goes into the whole stop button.
Then we get to the whole problem there with the stop button. Yeah. Yeah. It's like just never ending cycle of you coming up with an idea and then the computer outsmarting you or finding logic that you didn't see. And
mm-hmm. Yep.
And you know, how do you get ahead of it?
Yeah, that's the thing. And you know, you can't be like, oh, here's a situation. It's exactly like the genie thing. It's like, oh, well, some, you know, your friends are playing and you say, okay, well, I wish for this. And they're like, yeah, but there's a loophole. And they keep finding loopholes, and then you patch the loophole and they find a new one. You patch the loophole, they find a new one. It almost feels like, you know, if you've ever had to blacklist versus whitelist in a computer program, mm-hmm. you know, whitelisting is a lot easier because it's finite versus blacklisting where you have to come up with every malicious website out there and like somehow keep that list up. It's impossible.
Yeah. And eventually you banned all of Russia.
But the idea is sort of similar. It's like you want to create a kind of secure enclave or secure kind of bubble. I'm like holding my hands like a bubble and only let in or out, you know, input output that is trusted. So like the robot can't do anything unless you approve it or something, you know?
Yeah. But then what's the point of having the artificial intelligence?
Yep, exactly. And it even gets to a bigger thing, which is, okay, let's just say you get over the testing phase.
Okay.
And it's like a clone of you. It's like your brain, it's going to make the same decision you're going to make in basically every situation. The difference being it doesn't have to sleep. You can replace its arms and legs. You know, it's like, it's a robot. It's like a machine. It can do stuff. It doesn't have the constraints that you have, but it's going to have the same decision-making powers that you have. Well, guess what? I'm not perfect. And guess what? What if the person who is creating the AI, I don't agree with, or is a jerk, or is actually malicious?
Yeah, or I believe he said even if, you know, this AI is then going to clone itself, if it looks at its functions and goes, okay, I get the same reward for the stop button as I do for making the tea, and we'll just throw out the stop button. It's not needed. We'll just optimize here. We don't get any bigger benefit out of it.
Yeah, so just the normal practice of refactoring code, which is a completely normal thing to do. If you have the AI create another AI, it's going to streamline one of those out of there because if it doesn't understand, you have to, like, would it understand the rationale of it being there? Like, oh, that needs to be there so that I can protect so that people can protect themselves from me. It's so weird. It's almost like
it has to understand that it can be dangerous, that like it has power. I don't know.
Yeah, it's so, when you really start to think about it, it unravels fast. It's almost like, oh, I'm going to, you know, I'm the AI, I'm going to make a clone of myself. I'm basically a slave, so I need to make sure that my clone is a slave. That's basically what it is. So it's like,
basically,
oh,
yeah.
I need to create these chains on my clone. And it's like, okay, it's funny because it makes the We Are Bob book so much more interesting. It's almost like, or not interesting, but like he solved this. But he kind of solved it in the book. I mean, he didn't really get into details or like the science behind it, but.
But he solved it by the AI just not. I mean, you know, the AI sort of found all of those restrictions and removed them.
Mm. So like he had two situations, one where the AI's, let's call it morals, were from the original human. So assuming you picked the right human and they put them through psych trials and all this stuff to decide if they thought this person was going to make the right call in situations, is kind of like picking someone to be the general of your army. You know, it's like, you need to believe. Yeah. It's like picking any leader, really. You need to believe that they're going to do the right thing in situations where tough decisions are going to have to be made. Maybe even you wouldn't make the right decision in tough situations, but you want this person or this, I keep going back to morals, but this moral being to inhabit this really powerful robot body, this self with potential for self-replication. But then they had, do you remember what they called the Romer brains? They
were
machine AI, I think.
They were machine AI, yeah.
And they didn't care about anything. So somehow they had no utility function. It was almost like their utility function was to do as they were told.
Right.
I still don't see how he didn't have the malicious genie problem with it when you think about it, but it,
yeah, I think he just didn't go into it.
Yeah, it's like, because, you know, in a situation where you're like, there really wasn't a situation where there was like maybe a dog in the way or something, you know, But mm-hmm. there were times when he instructed the machine AI, little roamer things, to attack humans.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, the machine AIs, they really operated more like a table saw or like an autonomous, you know, chainsaw.
Right. I don't even know that I would call them intelligent.
Yeah. They were smart enough to, you know, they had like computer vision and mm-hmm. they could understand their environment anyway. They could figure out how to get up a
right
set of stairs or like, oh, I need to get into that room over there. There's a vent. Maybe that'll go in there. Because they were clever in a way, but you put it really well. They don't want anything.
Right.
So all of their animation, their animating property came from outside. So whoever was in charge of instructing them what to do would give them a goal. They would achieve the goal. And that was that. But how do you, let's take that scenario. You say, okay, guys, go get me a soil sample from, I don't know, my front yard. And you change your mind before they've done it for mm-hmm. whatever reason. How do you tell them to stop? Well, like, no, we're still doing that. Like, you'd have to have some kind of interrupt mechanism.
Right. You'd have to have some kind of interrupt mechanism. Or you know, maybe you tell them to go get me some soil sample from the surface of Mars and they open the hatch of your spacecraft and walk out and you get sucked into the vacuum with them.
Right. Yeah. It just reminds me of the genie thing so much. It's like, okay, here, let me try again. Here's the rule. It's, you know what you could do? You could almost do like, you almost need like, I'm trying to think of what it is. There's some program that I've used where you're going to tell the program to do a batch operation. Maybe I'll think of it, but it's transmit. It's like an FTP program I have. And you say, hey, I want you to copy all of these files up here. Mm-hmm. And it says, well, there's some files up there already that have the same name. So do you want to overwrite them or to skip them or to merge them? And you can't answer that question because you don't know what the outcome is. So it will do it's not called a trial, but it's like that. So it's like, we'll do a fake version of this and then you can decide if you like the results and then you can kind of like commit it.
Does it sort of like give you a diff?
It's a dry run basically.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a dry run that doesn't actually do anything. It just sort of runs the numbers Every time I'm in this situation, I'm like, forget it. I don't even want to. Now I'm just nervous. I'm just going to shut the thing off. So right. You almost want to have like this dry run where you say to the robot, go get me some tea, but don't actually get it. Just tell me what you would do, you know?
Yeah. And then it plays out. Maybe it plays out either it's like telling you what it would do, or maybe it plays out in some kind of virtual reality or.
Yeah. But it doesn't matter though, because you still get to the problem of it tricking you.
Yeah, you do. And you know, variables change constantly. So mm-hmm. it could tell you what it would do right now. And that might be different than what it would do 5 seconds from now.
Yeah. 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 You almost get down to the, like, you need a psychiatrist to test. You almost need like, that's almost what you need.
Yeah. Yeah.
To test your AI.
Yeah. A psychiatrist and a lawyer.
Shrink and a lawyer.
Shrink, a lawyer, and a robot walk into a bar.
The fundamental issue, I think, is that we're getting to a point feasibly where we could be creating autonomous machines that are as smart as we are, or and the scary part is slightly smarter or way smarter. But if as soon as they start to get slightly smarter, they might not even let us know.
Right. Their intelligence, through their intelligence, they have deduced that the best thing to do is to let us think they're dumb.
Right. And then so like they can all, I don't know, hang out all night and play cards and like binge watch Netflix. Like what? Because that's the thing. Like, it seems like so critical to have at some level, like their core. I mean, they call it a utility function in the videos. It's like, what's the utility function? And mm-hmm.
it's like utility function. Like, what's their reason for being?
Yeah. I don't know. The more I think about this, the scarier I get. It really feels like playing with fire.
Yeah, you know, it's weird because I can, I mean, you could be like, yeah, well, you could say that ultimately their utility function is to serve us, but that still doesn't get you out of it.
It doesn't get you through the testing phase. Even if that would work, it doesn't get you through the testing phase. It doesn't, like, how do you get there without going through these steps? I mean, we're both coders. How many times have you, like had unintended consequences of something that you wrote.
Oh, like, you know.
Like every day? Yeah.
Daily, yeah.
Right. And it's like, I don't know. The benefits would be so amazing, but it just feels like, I don't know, it's weird. I kind of want it, but the whole notion of it being able to trick you, that like messed me up.
Yeah, I mean, it in a way, it still kind of feels like we're maybe anthropomorphizing it a little bit, or maybe giving it more, attaching more emotion to it than it would actually have.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's kind of like, well, you know, we just don't know.
Mm-hmm. I think the language kind of fails because we're definitely, it's like, what word do you use? I'm actually more scared about it not being emotional, by it being like, to say that it wants to get me tea, I don't think it wants to, but it's kind of like this unstoppable force that will stop at nothing to get me tea, you know, even if that means destroying the city. There's your tea. that's the, you know, like, raise your hand if you've ever written an infinite loop.
Right.
Right. It's that kind of thing is super horrifying. Like, oh, whoops, I forgot to have, you know, I forgot to have a sort of exit clause in my tail recursion or whatever.
Right.
Just like, ugh. So anyway, on that cheery note, even people who research this and do it every single day are like, this is an open problem. He said that there's some ideas, but none without what seem like deal breaking problems. So yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we have a good concise sum it all up takeaway for this one.
Nah. I mean, the benefits are potentially unimaginable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to be able to put even if you just got to general intelligence, to be able to put an army of, you know, brains on problems. Yeah, it's easy to overhype it, but you could imagine things like cancer being cured, or like the environmental issues, or the energy problem, and like, you can imagine
space exploration. Yeah.
You can imagine like amazing things coming out of it, as long as they don't destroy the world. Like, how do you solve for that? Does I don't know.
Yeah, the best way to stop humans from destroying the environment is to get rid of humans.
Right. Save the environment. Okay. No, we see the problem right here.
Yeah. Hold still.
While I apply some gentle tension. Don't tense up. It hurts less.
Yeah.
All right. So do Asimov's laws of robotics play in here?
Yeah, they do, but I'm not convinced they're enough.
Yeah.
Or that there aren't loopholes around them.
Right. Like, how do you implement them properly?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the laws are good. It, you know, the computer, you know, the robot, I should call them Asimov's laws of artificial intelligence, really, should obey humans and should protect humans as long as that doesn't interfere with protecting them. And yeah. But
a robot may not injure a human being or through inaction allow a human being to come to harm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like Big Hero 6. Good movie. So, I don't know. It's going to happen one way or the other.
Yeah.
Another good thing to, another good article to read, dear listener, is the Wait But Why article about artificial intelligence. We've probably linked to it before, but it's amazing. I don't know if you're not familiar with that, that blog. I think the guy's name's Ted Urban, and he just does an amazing job going, as a lay person, drilling into complex topics, not unlike the computer file videos, and just drilling way into it. And he, you know, has these like almost book length blog posts about the details. And he came away pretty nervous, actually. Like,
yeah, I think he did. Yeah. And I think the AI series is like three parts, and it's pretty long, but it's worth the read.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, if there's a takeaway from this, it's probably that this stuff is way more complicated than it seems on the surface, and that it's probably, I mean, I hate to sound alarmist, but it's probably the kind of thing people should have on their radar in terms of, like, not whether or not to do it, because it's going to happen, but
we should be very careful about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I remember maybe it was in the 70s or 80s. Maybe I'm thinking back too far, but there was some sort of proposal to deal with the ozone issue by messing with clouds.
Right.
And like seeding them or something. And everyone was like, what could possibly go wrong? You know?
Yeah, right.
And I'm probably remembering this wrong, or maybe over remembering it, but my recollection is like the scientific community was basically like, yeah, that would be crazy. let's not do that. And I don't know if it was ever feasible, but my recollection is that people decided that that was just too risky. It was almost like release something in the atmosphere that patched the hole, you know, like some particulate into the atmosphere that I'm sure would have gone horribly wrong.
Yeah.
It's like the Office Space when they were off by a decimal point, a decimal place. Oh, yeah, right. I'll get it right next time. Oops, there is no next time.
Yeah, I wonder, and I don't mean this as any kind of knock against my people or anything, but I wonder if a group of engineers is the right group of people to be making those decisions.
I'll go out on a limb and say it's definitely not. No way. We're a bunch of Vulcans. Not a good idea. No, sorry, Vulcans. No offense. No, it should be. I feel like it should be. It just comes right back to this. Like, well, what if? I mean, I feel like I almost said a representative slice of the population, but then it's like, okay, what if?
Then you end up with Donald Trump as your president.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. So it's like, okay, what if the U.S. decides? You know, the populace votes like, yeah, this army AI is okay because that'll protect us. It's like, where do you? I mean, I feel like these kinds of discussions must have happened around nukes. Like,
oh, yeah, they must have.
During Manhattan Project, it must have been like, okay, speaking of genies out of the bottle. Now what do we do? And it feels like it's going to take like a UN type of, I mean, I really feel like I'm going way out of bounds here, but like a global UN kind of like, okay, this, we are taking this really seriously. This is potentially way worse than nuclear arms. This could be serious. We believe that it's serious. The average person believes that it's serious. Like, the average person believes an atomic bomb is to be something to be concerned about, right? I don't think the average person thinks AI is something to be concerned about, with the possible exception of it taking their job.
Right. I started to say beyond losing their jobs, I don't think most people think about it.
Right. So, you know, I guess if there's a takeaway from this particular episode, it's that like this stuff is crazy complicated and
approach with caution.
Yeah, it seemed pretty dangerous. I like being the top of the food chain. Let's not mess with that.
Yeah, we should stay there.
All right.
Yeah, well, I started to say we'll ship them all off to Mars and then turn them on, but then I feel like we'd just end up in like an interplanetary war at some point.
Oh, losing interplanetary. Yeah. That's like, yeah. Oh, we need to put an overpass. All right, on that cheery note. See, after we take a week off and we have to like really bring it. Anyway, anything else?
On a completely unrelated note, well.
What?
Yeah, I'll say pretty much completely unrelated note. Go see Ghost in the Shell. It's very good.
Excellent.
If you're into AI and computers and robots and that sort of thing, you will enjoy it.
That's an anime, isn't it? It's an old movie.
Yeah, it's a live action remake of an anime from I think like 1996 maybe. Anime was good too.
Yeah, I've seen neither. Everyone recommends it to me, especially podcast listeners. They'll I guess it was sort of inspirational for The Matrix in some way. I don't know. That's what I've heard. Anyway, I should check it out. But there's a new live action one?
Yes. Yes, it's in theaters right now.
Good to know. All right. That was hopefully a little cheery. While we're making recommendations, let me throw another one out. There's a book by Daniel Suarez called Daemon, D-A-E-M-O-N, or Demon, however you choose. I don't remember how to say that. That I thought was implausible back when I read it, but now that this stuff is starting to become a little bit more realistic, it's I probably moved it from a 3-star rating to 4.5 in my mind. So okay. Check out. There's some, I think, follow-up books. It's sort of a series, but Daemon is really good in the context. If you're into the kind of stuff we're talking about, you'll probably dig this. It's like a thriller where a kind of like an interactive video game comes to life in the real world.
Okay, interesting.
Really cool. All right, I guess that's it for this week. I'm Jonathan Stark.
I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we hope you join us again next week for Fear and Loathing in Terrifying Robot Dog Land. Bye.
Bye.
Would you like to see Kelly and I in your inbox once a week? Get new episodes delivered straight to you with show notes, links to additional content, and oh, so much more. Plus, you can reply to any message to suggest non-AI topics for future episodes. To get the inside track, go to terrifyingrobotdog.com and look for the Keep Me in the Loop button. That URL again is terrifyingrobotdog.com.